And we ask that you would help us through your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you are the wonderful God who does instruct us and teach us. Thank you that you're not silent, you speak. Help us to be good listeners. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, while we were away recently up in North Queensland, Colin and I were able to go up to Port Douglas from Cairns to a place called Hartley's Crocodile Adventures. I love the word adventure. It was quite an adventure. So you go there and it's an amazing place. It's been around for 80 years. And there are jumping crocodiles, gigantic crocodiles, chomping crocodiles, lots of crocodiles. Got to be careful when you go there. Around about 3 p.m. every day, they have something called Croc Attack Show. So I had to go to that. So you sit there and you're waiting to find out what's going to happen. And so what happened is that this gate opens and this guy walks into the crocodile pen. I'm going, what? And by this stage, everyone's on the edge of their seat, even me. And I'm going, this is insane. And then he starts sort of splashing about, and the crocodile that's submerged suddenly just goes for it, just jumps out and lunges for him. And it misses him. And this happened for the next 15 minutes. He is playing with his crocodile that is wild. What do you reckon? It's insane. And I don't know how he can read the crocodile's moves, but he's able to miss it. I've never seen anything in my life. Now, while all this is happening, he is telling us about crocodiles. And he's telling us to be careful of them and not to get too close to them. So that's a bit funny. But he also, I remember one thing he was telling us about is about dad crocodiles. Dad crocodiles are not the best in the world. What happens is when the little baby crocodiles hatch, dad chomps them up. He has them for lunch. What do you think of that? That is not a good picture of fatherhood. I reckon if a baby crocodile should survive this, no wonder they have very deep emotional scars and they become aggressive as well. Oh, man. But in the same place, they also had cassowaries. And that's because they're up there in that part of the world and they had a few in this park and we got told about them. They are very different, especially when it comes to the dad cassowary. The dad cassowary, he's pretty good. The female, not so good. She lays the eggs. And then she just nicks off. The dad cassowary sits on the eggs, keeps them warm until they hatch, and then for the next year, he protects and provides for them until they're able to greet the big world. What do you think of that? I reckon that's a good picture of fatherhood and motherhood together for some reason. All mixed up together. You know, on this Father's Day, how good it is for us to consider as humans, not now talking about crocodiles or cassowaries, what does it mean to be a good father? What does it mean to be a good father? It's so important that we look at that. I want to say very clearly to you that I am bugged by the Western world I live in, and you live in, where fatherhood is treated with contempt. There have been so many shows and movies that pretty much shows the father as, let me be blunt, the moron. Dumber than the kids, inconvenient in the home, an unnecessary part of the home, and an embarrassment to any home. Have you picked up on that? It's disgusting. You need to realize that it's been fueled by Satan, who wants us to think wrongly, and by people who are anti-God. Because if you are connected with God, you're not going to be thinking like that. Fatherhood is something to be esteemed, something that God has given us. Fatherhood is really important. It's one of the great roles that God has given to those who have been blessed to be a father. When I think of all the key roles that we can have in society, it's great to be a mother, but I reckon, I don't want to go too far with this, but I think the role of father is the greatest role of all. And why I say that is because I see the damage done when you're not a good father. It causes more damage than anything else, even when a mother messes up. When a father messes up, it causes the most damage. That's what I see. And therefore, we need to realize how important it is that we have a heart to honor fatherhood and to do everything we can, if we're a father, to be a good father. If we're a Christian, if we love Jesus, it should be, if when we're a father as well, we ought to have a great heart for fatherhood and a desire to be a good father. Now, as you can tell, we're going to be looking at fatherhood today. So that doesn't mean the majority of you who aren't fathers, or more than half are not fathers, that you go to sleep now or read the contact. If you're married to a man who has become a father, then I would urge you to listen and do everything you can to encourage him. He needs encouragement in the hostile world we live in. And if you're not connected with that, you ought to pray for fathers. You ought to pray that there might arise, especially in the Christian church, godly Christian fathers who might be a real blessing not only to their own kids, but to other kids in the neighbourhood as well. Well, where do you begin in understanding and appreciating what a good father looks like? There are some good examples in the Bible and bad examples too. The Bible's got it all. One great example, by the way, is Abraham. He was a good father. And God acknowledged that. You read about that in Genesis. But this morning, I want us to particularly consider someone else. And obviously, I would love to consider God the Father. But this morning, I actually thought how good it would be for us to consider Jesus. Why Jesus? We call God, God the Father. Why should we consider Jesus? Have you ever thought that it's not just God the Father who portrays to us the best fatherhood there is, but Jesus does too. And that shouldn't be a surprise, because Jesus, he's exactly like the Father. Remember that great verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? It says, Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature. He shows to us what a father should be. And also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at Christmas time, we quote a verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and it says in that great verse, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That second title given for Jesus is Eternal Father, not because he is God the Father, no. But because he's like God the Father. He has a fatherly heart. Doesn't he have a fatherly heart? Are you a Christian? Then you should know his fatherly heart towards you. What a beautiful example Jesus is to all earthly fathers in regard to how we should be. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at John chapter 10. We're going to see how not only is he our great Saviour, but he sets up for us a wonderful example for how we are to be, and especially if you are a father, how you are to be a good father. I just want to pull out of John chapter 10 just three things about Jesus and link that to us fathers, if we're a father. How we are to shepherd our children, how we are to school our children, and how we are to be strong for our children. Jesus has been for us, and we are to be that for our kids as well. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. And let's consider Jesus, our shepherd. John chapter 10, let's read verses 11 to 15. I love these words. From the lips of Jesus himself, John 10, 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who's not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I just love how Jesus takes on himself that great title, the Good Shepherd. Right there we have a glorious picture for every Christian father how we're to be. We are to take on that mantle of being a shepherd. We cannot ever replace Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd. But we are meant to be like Jesus, a shepherd. a shepherd of our children, just as he is a shepherd for us. But look at what it says there about Jesus, the way he shepherds. We read here very clearly that Jesus is a shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for us. Not only that, he's a shepherd who is concerned for his sheep. He will not flee. He will look out for his sheep. And I also see that this shepherd knows every sheep. What a wonderful shepherd we have in Jesus. How incredible it is to read these rich words and to see his great love for us, especially when we remember how we have been wayward sheep. We have strayed and hurt him so much. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for us. I love the picture language here. It is Jesus, the shepherd, who has given himself into the jaws of death so that we might not be taken down by eternal death. That's the shepherd he is. And even though I know this passage is primarily about what he has done to save us and how he looks after us, don't forget that Jesus' ministry was twofold. He came to save us and he came to give us an example. I love Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 where that spelled out those two things of Jesus. It says there, let us, remember how it goes? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He has authored our faith. Through his death on the cross for us and through his mighty resurrection, he has made it possible for us to be saved. He's authored it. But it also says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. That means he has shown us what it looks like to live for God. And in the role of fatherhood, you cannot go wrong by looking at Jesus and seeing how we are to be as well if you're a father. So think about this then. We see Jesus being the shepherd. So as a father, I'm a father, a grandfather, I am to be like Jesus. He's my example as well. I am meant to shepherd my children, my grandchildren. How am I to shepherd them? I'm to be a good shepherd by being willing to sacrifice my life for them. Now, I know that doesn't mean die on a cross, but okay, fathers, let's think about these things. How much sacrifice do you make in your life for your kids? In our world, it's so easy just to be doing your own thing. Well, your kids are an inconvenience. You need to be showing them through the example that Jesus sets, where we are sacrificing our life for them. We're taking time out to spend time with them, to do things with them, to see a sports carnival, to do whatever we can to know, to help them know that they are important. It takes sacrifice. We need to sacrifice things for our children's sake. And what about concern for them? We see that in Jesus, he's concerned for his sheep. As the wolf comes, it's a metaphoric language about enemies coming against his sheep. We're meant to be concerned for our children. We're not to be helicopter parents. You know that phrase? You know, we're meant to let them have freedom to grow, but we're meant to be looking out for them. We're meant to be considering the friends they're hanging out with or the temptations that they might be facing and be concerned for them. Jesus is for us and we need to be for our children. And we need to know our kids. I love how Jesus knows me. He knows my name. He knows me so well. And we are meant to know our kids. How well do we know our kids? How well do we know their character? Do you know them well enough so that when you discipline them, it fit just for them? Every kid's different. Do you know what their strengths and weaknesses are? As a parent, we need to know our children. In Psalm 139, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. I love that. God searches us and knows us. We ought to be doing something similar to our kids, searching and getting to know our children. Be good shepherds of your children, fathers. Follow the example of Jesus. Look to him and you'll be a good father. But moving on to the second part of our Bible reading, let's have a look at John 10:27. And that says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There's a lot in that little verse. But what I want to pick up is, in the very first part of it, it says, my sheep hear my voice. That is to say, Jesus speaks. And he always did. Right through his ministry years, he was always schooling. That's the word I want to use. He was always schooling his disciples. That's a great picture for us fathers. We also, following in the footsteps of Jesus, we are meant to be also schooling our children. And there's many areas that we can look at. It is great. I loved schooling our kids in school. Not going to school, but when they came home, you know, helping them with chemistry or whatever they might be doing. I could still remember it. So that was good. I could help them. And it's good to help them in their homework. It's good to school them in doing things, even though we were blessed with daughters. I got to teach them how to do things, and then they taught their husbands, you know, how to change the car oil, you know. Yeah, and all those sort of things, and how to make things and do things and all that. So it's great, and they taught their husbands, they did. Some of those husbands have now come to see me about how to do things. But that's right, that's all part of schooling. Of course, there's something so much more than that. How important it is that fathers school their children in the things of God, in the things of Jesus. You know, it's such a cop-out when we think, oh, well, the Christian school will do that. Or the, you know, and I know we're blessed with great Sunday school teachers and Bible school teachers and youth group leaders, and they do it. No, you're the number one. You're meant to be schooling them. So here's a test. How often do you sit down with your kids and teach them from the scriptures? We often used to call it family devotion. Not the mum, but the dad. Teaching, schooling our children. You get to teach them about who Jesus is, who God is, and our great salvation, and what's to come. And why should we be doing that? Because on your heart, if you're a Christian, more than anything else should be, Father, I want my children to be before your throne with me one day. How we need to school them in Christ. How they need to be schooled that they know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. How we want to school them in all that Jesus has taught us, that they might follow Jesus in their life. Amen, eh? We need to school them. I do hear. I know so often there are so many fathers who just don't have the time, they say. They'd like to, but they don't. You need to be heading up family devotions. You need to be praying with your kids and teaching them from the scriptures. It's the most important thing you can do. It really is. It is the most important thing. More than anything in sport or in careers or anything, it is to school your own children in the things of Christ. And the other thing that I love about this passage is in verses 28 to 30. It says, I give eternal life to them, Jesus says, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And I know there's so much I can say about those verses, but I just want you to see one thing in connection to what I'm going to say about fatherhood. I love here how the Father and also Jesus, how they are so strong. Do you see that language, how they're so strong? In what sense? They will never let us go. They are so strong and reliable. They will never abandon us. If we are the Lord's child, isn't that wonderful? How wonderful it is. I know in my own life how often I must break my Father's heart. How I must give every reason for Jesus to reject me. But he doesn't. He holds on to me forever. And so does the Father. That's a fantastic truth if you haven't grasped hold of that yet. Your salvation is absolutely secure. Because he's so strong. You know what though? As we talk about fatherhood today, I love that picture for fathers. That's how we're meant to be. We're meant to be strong for our kids. We're not to just throw our hands up in disgust and be in despair and desert our kids. There's plenty of times when you can be tempted to do that. But follow the example of Jesus. You don't be a crocodile dad. All right, you don't want to go down that road. You know, we need to be strong for our kids. In this world is just full of toxic stuff. This world is full of quicksand. You need to be a rock for them. You need to be strong for them. You need to be like the prodigal son's father. Even when they hurt you to bits, you love them still and you will embrace them. You need to be strong for them. You really need to. Jesus is our perfect example in this, as well as God the Father. Friends, we live in a day and age where it's critical. We live in a day and age where fatherhood has been trampled all over and even despised. Look to Jesus if you're a father and be a good father. Follow him. Shepherd your children. School your children. Be strong for your children. But I can't finish by saying one more thing. It all goes down to your personal life. Personally, in your personal walk with the Lord, you need to be disciplined and determined to put Jesus first in your life. This is something that I have sought to practice. I'm not perfect at this. But besides seeking God the Father, you need to seek Christ. You need to have your own quiet time. You need to have your own time with the Lord that he might school you. You need to submit to Christ. Submit to Christ. You need to allow him to shepherd you. How can you shepherd your kids if he's not shepherding you? And you need to speak to Christ. Is he not your rock? Is he not the one who is strong? Is he not the one who also in Isaiah 9:6 is called Wonderful Counselor? You need to speak to Christ, and especially in regard to being a father. He will give you great counsel, more than any book can, more than any counselor can. It is Jesus we need to turn to. And if you should do those things, I guarantee you'll be a great father. You will shine Jesus, and you'll be just like him in being a good shepherd, schooling your kids and being strong for them. So if you're not a father, pray for fathers. What a crisis day we live in. And for all of you who are fathers, I do not want to put a great burden upon you. Learn to be free in Christ, but let it be that you live for Christ. That you seek Christ, you submit to Christ, and you speak to him. Amen. But thank you that he is our perfect example. Help us to realize that. Help us to be looking to Jesus for two reasons. He's our great Saviour, but he's also our perfect example in how we are to live. We thank you that he shows us how to be good fathers. Lord, I just think of that passage in John 10. Well, I know it's primarily about what he's done for his people, but what an example he sets for us. Help us to be, Lord, if we're fathers, good shepherds of our children. Help us to school them really well in Jesus. And help us to be strong for them. Lord, we're meant to be strong. They need us to be strong because they live in a world that is so up and down. Lord, help us personally in our own time with you to be seeking you, our Father, and to be seeking Jesus, your Son. Help us to be submitting to your will, which of course is Jesus' will. And help us to be speaking to you and your Son often. Lord, we need you in our life. I pray for every father here that we'd first of all be saved, that we'd be born of your Spirit, that you would help us to be godly fathers to our children and grandchildren, whatever you might bless us to have. And Lord, for everyone else who's not a father here today, help us all to realize the importance of honoring fatherhood. Help us to do what we can to encourage fathers. Lord, help us to realize in the days we live in a world that's anti you. And we see all sorts of horrible things happening to what you've established. And I even pray, Lord, for that meeting on Thursday where they're going to talk about theistic evolution. That must hurt your heart, Lord. Help us as Christians not be caught up with what others are promoting. Help us to love your word from A to Z. Thank you that the whole book is inspired by you. And we're so thankful for that. Well, Lord, thank you for a lovely morning. May you bless our day. I know we'll probably have meals with other people and all that. So thank you for this morning. May you bless your people. Lord, may we be in your favour as we follow Jesus. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.